Thank you for joining us today. Whether you are part of the Lighthouse family, be it on-site with us weekly or tuning in online, we'd love to connect with you via our social media at Lighthouse Ely. It's on all our social media platforms. I hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Enjoy the message. Good morning. What day is it today? It's Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have a good morning. You had a good morning so far?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's a little echo chamber going on here, but as long as you can hear me, and I don't have to shout too loud. But I tell you what, when Christ was risen, I tell you there's something to shout about. Amen, amen. I want to get into The King Has Risen. That's my title. But really, I want to talk about what the resurrection does for us in the way of the new creation, and what it means to be in Christ, and what it means to be resurrected, and how we can enter into that resurrection that Christ has for us, that we too can be resurrected. Very interestingly, on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, there's two appearances in Luke 24. If you've got your scripture, you can find that, Luke chapter 24. Maybe you've got a tablet or a phone or something going on there. And we're looking at starting at 19. But let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection life. Thank you, Jesus, that death, as we sang, could not hold you. The grave couldn't hold you, but you rose from the dead in glory and power. And you gave that same power and authority to us as we rise with you, as we enter into all that you've got for us. We believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So Luke 24, there's these two disciples. They're going from Jerusalem to down the road of Emmaus. And Jesus just happens to be walking by and catches up with them. And we pick it up at verse 19. And Jesus is like, what's going on? And the disciples are like, I can't believe. Where have you been? Let me tell you, Jesus of Nazareth here, verse 19, who is a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. But then Jesus said, how foolish are you? How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, when he was opening the scriptures? Skip down to verse 44. Jesus is back in Jerusalem and appears to his disciples, and he said to them, these are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. See, I'm sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So my topic this morning is resurrection and the new creation in Christ. Jesus has risen from the dead, and Jesus rising from the dead is that first sign of the new creation. So when Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha, you remember when he raises Lazarus from the dead,
He says, do not believe in the resurrection. And Martha says, well, yeah, of course, at the end, I understand there's a resurrection. But Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. And Jesus' resurrection is the foretaste of the end resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead, the scriptures would say. And Jesus is risen here. And what I want to do talk about today is how that connects to creation and new creation, and how being in Christ, we become new creations, that old things are passed away, as Paul says, and all things have been made new. And like Christ has been raised from the dead, we have been raised, and we're no longer dead from our inheritance from Adam, from the first creation, but we have been risen with Christ and we share in his life. And by the Holy Spirit, I believe this morning that as we open the scriptures, that the word of God is opened up to us, giving us revelation and that new life. Just like those disciples, I tell you, our eyes need to be opened. We need to see what God has for us. Our hearts need to burn when we hear the words of Christ, when we open up our ears and our minds and we begin to understand all the things that God has planned for us, that these things enliven us and empower us so we can understand that something completely new has happened. Jesus talking to his disciples and he's making sense of the past. He's saying, this has all been told about. And now he's bringing it into the presence. These things are here and now. I've risen today. And then he brings us into the future, the purpose. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to have repentance of sins. We're going to have forgiveness of sins. And we're going to preach this to the nations. So you see how Jesus is connecting all these things together. And as he does, something happens within him. And I believe it's the Spirit that comes alive. And these aren't just words on a screen or on a page. These are something that brings life to us. We have to treat the Word of God like this. You know, that we have to say, come on, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Enliven my heart. Encourage me. Maybe challenge me too, but encourage me to say that Jesus is alive. His words are alive. And they're alive to me because my heart is open. I'm getting way more excited than you are. So just calm down a bit. You know what? When we make sense of our past, we understand where we are in the future, where we are now, and we can see a clear future. We can see the new creation that awaits us, that Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning of what's happening. I tell you, we have purpose, we have direction, we have aims, we know where we're going, we know we've left the old behind, we know our old nature was crucified with Christ, and behold, I'm alive in him, in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is enabling me and empowering me. This is the, Paul says, the mystery of godliness is this, that Christ, which means anointed one, the Christ is revealed in human flesh. And I think he's talking about Christ being revealed, and I think he's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ enabling and empowering us today. It's not a mystery that you're human. Yeah, don't shower for a couple of days and we know how human you are. Don't try that. Don't try that at home. It's a mystery how the very life and nature of God can be revealed within our humanness. And I think that is the amazing thing that the resurrection does for us. It brings us that life out of what is death. And we are as much part of the resurrection as Christ has resurrected. So we no longer live in our old dead nature, but we live in the newness of life. Amen. The newness of life we have by his Spirit. And as we read scriptures, this is the secret. It's not a secret. This is the idea. When we read those scriptures, just like those first disciples, our eyes need to be opened. And we say, Lord, let me see what you see. Let me hear what you hear. Let me be in tune to what you're saying to me and let my spirit come alive and let me embody his word. The word becomes flesh. You know, we have to take the word of God and it has to become part of us. Like the old prophet, didn't he? He said he ate the book and it tasted sweet and like honey. And those words, they actually become part of us because eyes, ears, hearts open. You know, what goes into our eyes goes into our soul. They're like the window of our being, aren't they? That's why the prophet says, set a guard upon my eyes. Let me only look upon what is righteous. Let me only look upon what is true. Let me meditate with my mind all the things that are perfect and righteous. Let these things consume my mind, and let my mind be on you. Let my heart be on you. Isn't that the promise of the new covenant? That I will write my laws upon your heart. Why? So you want to do them. I write them on your mind so you know what they're doing. And Jesus is speaking here, and their hearts are burning. Their minds are expounding. Their eyes are open, and they can finally see what's going on and what this means for us. And he expounds on the scripture, and he commissions them, promising that the Holy Spirit would clothe them. I love that. That garment that we wear is the spiritual empowerment that Christ wants to have for us. And Jesus connects what the scriptures have said about him. He opens their eyes, bringing that revelation, and then brings them forward to their future mission. And we do this as we read the scripture, as we allow our minds to receive what God has for us. Yes, certainly we gain knowledge, but there's more. We get transformed and empowered to take upon our new vocation, our new ministry, bringing repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the people in the world. He connects the past, present, and the future. He connects the resurrection with the new creation, our vocation, and then the final redemption of humanity, bringing the Eden globalized to the world and joining together once again heaven and earth. Jesus' resurrection was that dawn of that new creation. And Paul writes, doesn't he? He says, all creation is waiting for the children of God to be revealed. And creation will be renewed, not destroyed. You know, creation isn't going to be destroyed by God. It's going to be renewed by God. It's waiting to be set free from the corruption that it is. And it's like a picture and a mirror of us. Creation and new creation. We're kind of linked because in the beginning, creation, human beings were supposed to look after it and tend it, and they were empowered to do so. And now Christ is empowering and speaking to his people and say, come on, we're going to bring forgiveness of sins, we're going to bring repentance, and we're going to bring changed and transformed lives by the Holy Spirit that is going to clothe you. Just like creation will be made new, we are made new creations here and now, but yet we are waiting to be fully redeemed and out of the corruption of sin. But Jesus' resurrection is that guarantee that one day we will too experience the full redemption of creation, us included. It's like that down payment, isn't it, for Revelation 21, where he says, behold, I make all things new. And this new life that we are meant to live, we're meant to live it in Christ. That's what it means to be a new creation, is that because he lives, we live. I love that old hymn. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. One of you knows it. Because I know he holds the future. Because he lives. And life is worth living all because he lives. I was going to sing it, but it won't sound good. Because he lives, I live. I love that. And he tells his disciples this in John 14. Let's quickly read that. John 14, verse 19. He says, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live also. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Why? Because he lives. The life and nature of Christ is only possible in us because of the resurrection. And on that, he says on that day, I think he means the resurrection day. I think he means that when the very life of Christ becomes our life, and the reason we live is because he lives. And because resurrection means that all has been made new. Paul connects this in 1 Corinthians 15. It's one of the most famous passages on resurrection and the new creation, and how he brings that together in in one, he's saying there's so much more going on here that you have to look back to creation of physical things and understand what life-giving, enabling that Jesus is doing in his resurrection. Let's read that, shall we? 1 Corinthians 15, jump in at verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. So he's setting the context here. I want you to understand all the things I'm talking to you about is creation and new creation. And he's contrasting what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. So Adam became a living being and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. I love that. What is Christ doing? He's giving life. He says, the first man was from the earth. He was a man of dust, but the second is of heaven. And as the man of dust, so are we made of dust, as he is made the man of heaven. And so are those who are of heaven. Just as we're born the image of the man of dust, we inherit all the fallen nature from Adam, so we shall inherit the man of heaven. We shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. You know that word? So he's right back to creation, where God made human beings in his image. And he says, you've got a choice here. You've got the image of the man of dust. And we don't want to be in the image of the man of dust, because that's our humanity. That's all the old nature that you talk about dust and the serpent who crawled on his belly and the food of the serpent was dust. You know, you're linking all these things together, but we're not made of dust. We're made and bear the image of the man of heaven. He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but perishable, because it's perishable, but we will inherit the imperishable. It's the mystery. He says, we'll all be changed and transformed in the twinkling of an eye when the perishable body puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality. He says, then he goes on to say, where is your power, death? Where is your sting? Because death has been swallowed up in victory. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Christ, our Lord. Therefore, what does he mean? In the new creation, what does it look like? Be, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the working of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'll let you have a read of 1 Corinthians 15 and unpacking all of that. But the life that we live is a life by faith, believing in trust, in knowing we have a secure future. I have no fear, that song says, and I know he holds the future. This is why, because he lives. And we know that he's given us a spirit, his spirit of a foretaste of what it will be like in the future. That we're no longer consider ourselves to be dust, devoured by the serpent, but that we are in the image of Christ, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul says, I labor until Christ is formed in you, that Christ can be manifested in your human body. But God's creation is on the way. His new creation, it's been launched and it will be complete. But it's not our human flesh from Adam. It's our new nature that we inherit from him, that we begin to bear his image and we become the image bearers of the new Adam, not the old Adam. And Paul speaks of this time, doesn't he, when the Lord's glory will cover the earth. Perhaps reading Isaiah 11 or Habakkuk 2, he's like saying, there's coming a time when Eden will be globalized, when there'll be this new heaven and new earth. And what we're seeing now is a foretaste of what it'd be like in this new creation. And when that day comes, when Christ returns, he says, that incorruptible and the new heaven and the new earth will sustain us and create us. But we're waiting for this, but we know we have somewhere to go. We understand our past, we understand our future, and now we move on to all that God has for us. You know, it's like when we're in our baptism, we say we are dead to sin, but we are alive to Christ. And sometimes you think, well, hang on a minute, you know, I'm human, I'm not perfect. And that nobody's perfect seems to be a great excuse for why we're living according to our old nature. But let's stop that excuse right now. Of course, we remain in our humanness. And of course, temptation comes and whispers into our ear. and says, well, it doesn't matter, you know, everyone does this or that, you know, but, you know, you're just a sinner, you're not perfect, just go with the flow. And that is the trap that's waiting for us to make us think we're still dead in our sins and trespasses, and that we're not alive to Christ. As a Christian, because we believe in the resurrection, it means that we are prepared and enabled to say no to the old creation, say no to our old flesh. And when it whispers in our ear, we can say yes to the new creation, that there's a new way of being human, that God has made it possible and made a way. He set us free in his death from sin, and he makes us alive in his resurrection. This is a new way of being human, and we are committed to it. And I understand that we fail because we're still touching this earth, but we're going to be empowered by his Spirit to live this life. And then we get encouraged by God's word, and it comes alive in us. And even though we may groan and want to be unclothed out of this human body, no, we want to be further clothed with his Spirit. You know, it's not that we're trying to look for a way of escape so we can get out of here to heaven. No, we are looking for a way to bring heaven and earth, and that's what we're doing by his Spirit. We're bringing heaven to earth. Why? With the repentance of sins and the forgiveness. And we are talking about his love to everyone that we can meet. And we get encouraged by God's word. Instead of being moaning that we're human and subject to weakness and frailty, we can rejoice that we have hope. And that's why he says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, your labor is not in vain. Don't give up. You've started well. Who has hindered you? Continue in the Spirit. He says, you think you're going to perfect yourself by trying to polish up the old creation. He says, no, the old creation has to be nailed to the cross, and you have to be born again in the newness of life. And this is the continuity. There's a continuity between how we live today and how we will live in the future. This is why Paul says that our bodies will be changed and transformed, not replaced. He talks about the body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord is meant for the body. So what we do in the present matters. Matter matters. And because what we have now is actually part of our future. And when he comes to renew and restore this world, he comes to renew and restore us so we can be back to our rightful place of ruling and reigning like there in the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. And this, he says, is fulfilling the will of the Father. He says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close with this. He says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, which will clothe you. You know, clothing is very descriptive in Scripture, and it's an understanding of part of who you are and how you're identified. You know a policeman by the uniform that they're wearing, and you know a Christian because they're clothed with the Spirit, that they have that new nature about them, and it comes from knowing the will of the Father and receiving the Holy Spirit. So I'm sending you the Spirit from the Father. This is his will. And that's the very nature of Christ, isn't it, coming into us. And it's that transformation of that new way of being human, that new way that's formed as part of what Christ is doing in the new creation. And it's N.T. Wright, he says, it's like we are a shadow of our future selves. So who we are now is a shadow of what we will be. So as we enter into the new creation now, and we're believing and receiving that Christ has died for our sins according to Scripture, risen from the dead, giving us newness of life, we're entering into a whole new state, a way of being. We do this by, we immerse ourselves in God's words and God's promises. And as those promises and his words come alive in us, this is where I began, didn't I? So it came alive in us, and our hearts are burned, our eyes are burning within us. That revelation that Christ has given us is actually changing and transforming and cleaning and purifying and making us holy, setting us apart, that we have the mind of Christ, that we begin to think and operate like he works. This is the great work of redemption, is dealing with that old nature and transforming us into the likeness of his resurrection. This means we're not seeking honor for ourselves. This is the real work of redemption by the Holy Spirit, to not have that underlining self, which is the power of the old nature, where it's all about me and my faults, and we become internal, and we look at, and the more we look at ourselves, the more we think we're just these old sinners. No, we look into the face of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and we are changed, and in the twinkling of an eye, and we see him as he is, we shall be like him. And there's a foretaste of that going on. See, the old nature expresses itself in the weakness of our flesh. If you think you're in the old nature and you're going back, how weak is your flesh? Because the flesh, it says, is weak, and its inability to please God. The old nature has underlining nature of the demonic about it. You know it's demonic because it's seeking its own. It's seeking its own will and its own glory, and it's rejecting what God says. The old nature seeks its own, but the new nature, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, the new nature is patient, it's kind, it's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable, it's not resentful. That is what it's like to live in the new nature. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, he says, to those who by patiently doing good seek, but who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give them eternal life. While those who are self-seeking, who obey not the truth but obey wickedness, there'll be wrath and fury. I tell you, there's a real difference in those seeking God are the ones taking up their cross and they're following him. That's ones that Jesus says will deny themselves, take up their cross and follow him. And to those who believe, he gives them, scripture says, the right to become children of God. And it's the spirit that bears witness of who we are. I tell you, we need that witness. And I'm closing, honestly. It's taking God's word with open eyes, open ears, open hearts, and allowing the Holy Spirit to just come on in and enliven us, giving us that new life. And that's the beginning of the adventure, isn't it? That's the beginning of the new creation. And then we begin to see ourselves as God sees us, his children. And his Holy Spirit. I tell you, let's have the Spirit of God fill us afresh and anew. Let us open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see what God says about us. And when we're tempted, and when we have that whisper in our ear saying, see, you're just that old creation, you're just that old self, we can say no to the old creation. We can say new, say yes to the new creation in Christ. And just like Christ, that we are dead to our inheritance from Adam, and just like he was raised from the dead, we share in his life. And that temptation to go back to the old, we can say no, because we're empowered. And how are we empowered? Because we do not seek our own glory, but we live in the newness of life that he has for us. This is the mystery of godliness, that Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, is revealed in human flesh. You are no longer slaves to sin and to darkness, but you have been changed and transformed as sons and daughters into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I know you speak to us. I know you reveal Christ's words to us, that they may burn in our hearts, that they may open our eyes and bring us that revelation of who we are in you, that we are that new creation, that old things have passed away, that you empower us to live by your Spirit, to move by your Spirit, and to be your hands and feet in this world, bringing forgiveness of sins, bringing about repentance, turning away from our old life and bringing in the new. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.